Blog Talk Radio.
When the two bombs blew my city apart at 2:50 p.m. on April 15, 2013, I was leading my group on a Caribbean cultural cruise that had been planned for more than a year. I'm going to talk today from the heart, and I'm going to actually read a commentary that I have crafted regarding the Boston Marathon bombings from last week. I hope you'll listen attentively. I hope you'll share your thoughts with me as we reflect on the world that we currently live in. Whether you live in a small town or an urban area, the world is definitely connected in good ways and not so good ways. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you are listening to Focus on Empowerment, a special edition of Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. I've been off the air for 2 weeks. Last week, what I thought was going to be a wonderful cultural Caribbean cruise, unaffected by world events that really happened in my city, Boston. We had a delightful time. I'm going to talk about the cruise in the coming weeks because we learned an awful lot about the region, about the various islands that we enjoyed visiting, about each other. It was just a delightful trip that I'm going to repeat in 2 years. So you'll find out more about what we did this year, the trips that I have planned going forward, as I really look at this travel ed concept that's part of the Multicultural Symposium series. So stay tuned. We'll talk more about the trip and the islands, and we'll talk in detail, sort of debrief what we did on the Reflection Ship that's a part of Celebrity Series. Just a great time. The previous week, I was really busy trying to get ready for the trip, so I'm glad to be back on the air, but I'm so sorry that I've got to talk about something from the heart that happened in my city while I was gone. But before I do that, let me play my my infomercial, should I say, about the book campaign that I'm currently involved in. We're going to update the date, but I think it's important information we'd love for you to know about. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and I want to thank you for your continued support of my e-zine, the Multicultural Symposium Series, and my speaking services. I'm very excited about my two new books that I've recently published, and I'm running a book campaign, and I really need your help. Between now and April 7th, I'm asking that you purchase my two new books for yourself, your friends, and your family. And this is especially pertaining to my subscribers and friends who have already purchased one of my books. You can pick up an additional copy for someone in your network. You're helping me because I have a personal goal of selling 10,000 books in the coming months, and this campaign helps that effort. Very few self-published authors like me can make that claim, especially as an African-American business owner, and I really hope to reach that goal. My two new books are titled, the first one, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. It's a book that's packed with useful information and practical advice on how to advance the cause of diversity and multiculturalism wherever you go. Those are topics and fields that I know a lot about. I've been doing this work for 26 years, and it becomes more exciting each and every day. The second book is a new one that I co-authored called Real Women, Real Issues, Positive Collaborations for Business Success. It talks about the principles and the information in this book can work for both men and women, business owners and valued employees. I'm so excited because I co-authored my latest book with three other African-American women who are also business owners like me. We've known each other through the National Speakers Association since the mid-1990s, and then we formed the Ebony Speakers in 2007. Both books are $25 total for both of them. They regularly cost $15 each, and you have a chance to save $5. I've also thrown in a very special bonus gift, and the shipping for everything will be completely free. You just have to go online, look at the very end of this video, and you'll find the website where you can order the books. Your support will help me reach my worldwide goal of advancing the role of economic development, global diversity, and multiculturalism. Just give me a call if you'd like to talk at 508-947-5755 if you have any questions at all. I really appreciate your support, and thank you for helping my book marketing campaign.
Well, we've had a great success and a great response from people all over the country with this book campaign, and we're extending the deadline. We'd love for you to place your order by April 30th. The best way to get to the website you can order online is to go to tellcarol.com. That's my website, www.tellcarol.com. That's TellCarole.com. And you can click through to the online order page. Or you can go to tobookoffer.eventbrite.com. Don't put the www before the word that you spell out. Tobookoffer.eventbrite is spelled EventBrite.com. You can, that's the actual online ordering site. Or you can just give me a call at 508-947-5755, and I will take your order, process your credit card right on the line. I know there's some people who are a little squeamish about getting their credit card information online, so I will take it, write me down, and you'll be on your way with these wonderful books. We also have other price points in terms of bulk books that you can purchase at the $100 level. It's actually $99. And for those business leaders and those who have a wide network, be a part of my Club 100. And that's where you get 100 books. And it's just a fabulous way to stay connected with me, help out with the goal, and more importantly, really get some great information in the hands of those who can really use it for their own benefit. We'll talk continuously about this. I have other books coming out, and I'm just excited about the support that I'm getting. So thank you so very much. Well, I have decided to read to you what I've written about last week's bombing. I think it will make its point. You can go to my website, tellcarol.com, and read it for yourself. Under the blog portion, go to tellcarol, TellCarole.com. And then go to Carol's blog, and what I'm getting ready to read to you is there, and you can print it off and use it accordingly. But since I live in Boston, this is in my backyard, so often we look at all of these kind of events that happen on television. We watch it either on cable news or on one of the national news programs, ABC, CBS, NBC, and we say, oh, that's so terrible, and we go back to eating dinner. Well, this time, I couldn't go back to eating dinner because this happened in my backyard. And with that said, I'd like to read to you the following commentary that, again, you can find at my website, but it sums up how I feel, what I'm thinking, and why this really hit me personally. Here we go. When the two bombs blew my city apart at 2:50 p.m. on April 15th, 2013, I was leading a group on my cultural Caribbean cruise that had been planned for more than a year. We had just docked in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and I was able to turn my phone back on and check my email messages. As I finished that task, I prepared to get off the ship to enjoy parts of the island when my phone rang. It was my childhood friend, Denise Gray Felder, calling in a panic. Carol, where are you? Are you and Michelle safe? How close are you to the explosion that just happened at the finish line of the Boston Marathon? I thanked my friend for calling and reassured her that we were thousands of miles away from the scene of that amazing event. I collected my thoughts, wiped the shock off my face, and desperately searched the internet for more information on this breaking story. I had just sent off unrelated emails to friends and colleagues and learned that one friend had just handed the award to the winning female marathon runner more than a half an hour before the first bomb exploded. And as the day continued, I would learn the extent of the damage and the connections I personally had to the dead and injured. The good people of Puerto Rico, St. Martin, and St. Kitts were closely watching the Boston bombings and extended their sympathies to me as we traveled from one island to the next. As soon as the guests on the ships heard about the news, they wanted to know if I or those who traveled with me had any loved ones or friends injured or displaced by the blast. We did. One of my church members' neighbors was the classmate of the dead 8-year-old boy. One of my sorority sister's son was injured and hospitalized because of the bombings. One of our cruise traveler's son was a television cameraman covering the marathon and thankfully was not injured. And the connections just keep going deeper and deeper into the fabric of this horrific event. I took this terrorist act personally. These two demonic young monsters tried to destroy my city. They killed and injured the innocent who just wanted to watch a good race by cheering on their friends and loved ones straight through the finish line. I am heartbroken by the families who are burying their 8-year-old children, students, young adults, and police officers. I go numb when I think about the 13 or more newly minted amputees who are starting life all over again with artificial limbs. I am saddened by the two businesses, Marathon Place and the Forum Restaurant, now boarded up, unable to reopen because they are an active crime scene. And as the chair of the Multicultural Committee of the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, I took these bombings personally. One committee, our committee, and the Bureau, we've all worked for nearly 20 years to eradicate the stigma of racial hostility that still lingers with some people. The incident was a personal affront to all of the efforts of our committee and the Bureau. I was concerned, that it would further hurt the Boston brand and keep diverse conventions, conferences, meetings, and family reunions away from our city. Fortunately, the swift action of our city leaders dashed that threat. My heart leaped for joy when I watched on board the ship via satellite TV the dramatic chase, gun battle, and ultimate capture of the wounded 19-year-old brother, Zorov Cernarev. We didn't have to worry about his 26-year-old brother, Tamarin Cernarev. The police filled his body with bullets, and baby brother ran him over in the stolen vehicle only to escape into the streets of Watertown, Massachusetts. Thank God for our diverse group of elected officials and law enforcement officers in Greater Boston, led by the state's first African-American governor, Deval Patrick, and supported by our first black president, Barack Obama. They all worked as one in a decisive manner, locking down entire cities to ensure the safety of its people. In less than 5 days, it was over. The mastermind of this reign of terror was dead. The other brother captured, thanks to an alert Watertown homeowner who was curious about why his boat was tampered. On the evening of April 24th, following an advisory meeting of the Boston Chapter National Black MBA Association, I drove down newly reopened Boylston Street to see the damage for myself. Yes, I found the boarded up businesses, now labeled part of a crime scene, and captured them on my camera. You can actually see those again on my blog. But I took pride in thanking one of the police officers at the scene for his service to our city. He took great satisfaction in my compliment and grinned from ear to ear. Detroit is my beloved birthplace, but Boston has become my adopted home for nearly, and actually more than, 30 years. I feel as much a part of the Boston Strong movement as everyone else in this region. Boston is a great city and has proved once again that it will survive and thrive despite the forces of evil. Yes, we have political, social, economic, and educational issues, just like any other world-class city. But we have a resilient power to press forward in defiant dignity. Multiculturalism and diversity were on full parade last week, and so was the courage and commitment of all the people who live in my region. Police and elected officials teamed up with everyday folk to capture the bad guys. This is what I call faith in action. Boston strong. Boston strong. Boston strong. That's my commentary that I have on my blog. And again, I encourage you to listen to it, to watch it, to read it, that is, at tellcarol.com. Carol with an E. You can go to the blog page, Carol's blog, and you can download it and share it with others. Again, I was not here, but I certainly was here in spirit. And to think that such a heinous crime like that was done to my city was just staggering. It was also very difficult to be so far away, thousands of miles away, having a very wonderful time, again, on a beautiful ship with fabulous travelers who went with me. My daughter Michelle was with me as well. But then to be wrapped back into an ongoing crime that had happened in your city, to be far away but to follow it on the television airwaves was just surreal, very, very surreal. And to go down to that site last night was also contemplated. It was I don't know how to describe it. It was very sobering. It reminded me of seeing Ground Zero in New York many, many months following the September 11th tragedy, and wanting to go but not wanting to go, wanting to see, not wanting to see, and anticipating the horrific events that took place. Now, clearly, that event was a different event than this one, much higher death count. I understand that. But still an act of terrorism. They have actually said it was an act of terrorism. Many things come to mind that because our world is so connected and because of the internet, which I use for good, and clearly a small minority of people use for bad, we have to be more aware of the world events and the conflicts that are going on in the world. There's been a conflict with Russia and Chechnya for many years following the breakup of the USSR. We saw it with what used to be Yugoslavia, kept together very admirably by their dictator, president, leader, Tito, but he certainly kept those countries together, those Baltic countries together. And then when they separated, we saw the carnage that took place in the 1990s. Similar kind of acts of brutality have taken place between Russia and the Chechen people. There's been guerrilla warfare for more than 20 years. And now it's blown up in the face of Boston with these two young men who come from that region, who left that region and ultimately came to the United States as a safe haven. The younger 19-year-old boy, Sarnaev boy, who became an American citizen just last year, now involved in horrific crimes. His brother, for whatever reason, feeling alienated to the very country in which he lived. He married what I believe is an American citizen. He became, he received his green card, so he was here legally. His younger brother became a citizen. We're finding out more and more about the older brother and his wife, and where he was after the horrific event last week. I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm also trying to make sense of their mother, who is in complete denial. We now understand that she may be in some bit of a pickle here in the Boston area, having lived here, and she apparently is involved in a shoplifting case of which she has skipped the country, and that's why I'm sure she doesn't want to come back. But what troubled me about her remarks, Zubaydat, I believe is her name, Zubaydat Sarnaev, she has said something like she doesn't believe that the accusations are true. I don't understand that. She made comments over the last 24 hours. She said, I'm quoting from an article that I pulled on CNN, there was no blood, she said, it was paint. But her disbelief broke down when she said when she spoke of the victim. She said, I really feel sorry for all of them. She said with her voice cracking. But why in the world would she make a very callous comment about paint versus blood? She needs to be quiet, clearly needs to be quiet. I get angry with those kind of comments. I can certainly understand the shock, horror, and disbelief of a mother and possibly a father in not believing what your sons are capable of. But I'd like to tell Madam Sarnaev that, yes, your sons committed heinous crimes. They killed 4 innocent people, an 8-year-old, a young promising 29-year-old. I believe the young woman who died was 29. There was a mix-up in they thought that they had her ID mixed up with her friend's, and she actually passed away. The 23-year-old Chinese student, graduate student, brilliant young woman, mathematics and statistics student from Boston University, and a beloved police officer from MIT. 4 people killed in this horrific event. 4 people and at least 264 people wounded and injured, at least 13 of them who had their limbs blown off their bodies last Monday. The thought and the image of that is just in my mind. So for the mother of these two monsters to make the comment about, oh, it's not blood, it's just paint, I'd like for her to be quiet, just to be silent and say nothing. Their father is apparently going to be coming over to Boston tomorrow. I believe the body of the older 26-year-old has not been claimed yet. I'm sure that he will claim the body. We have many, many questions that are unanswered. But the one thing I am just really struck on, 2 things. Number one, the efficiency of law enforcement, political figures here in the greater Boston area, demonstrating their brilliance, demonstrating their skill, demonstrating their professionalism like no other. I'm amazed that the city of Watertown was locked down. Ultimately, the city of Boston was locked down, and all of the surrounding areas, and Cambridge, Massachusetts, and that was the effective way to corner and capture 2 men, one who was ultimately killed, the other who was ultimately found and spotted by a citizen who was concerned about something wrong with his boat in his backyard. And so it took all 3 groups to get this done. It took, obviously, the resilience and the courage of our police officers in Watertown, Massachusetts, in Boston, Massachusetts, in Cambridge, ultimately the work that was done down in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. I'm not that far from Dartmouth. The younger Sonaraf, young boy, young man, now he's not a boy, but he's certainly a young man, was a student at the University of Massachusetts, the Dartmouth campus, and that campus was totally swept, evacuated, and his room now has all of his items have been confiscated for the investigation. So this was a very widespread search that could have gone terribly wrong. There could have been more lives lost. The police could have bungled the whole case. I am so proud that they were efficient, but they were very diligent in what they said. They did not speak out of turn. They spoke as one. They worked as one with the governor and the mayor of Boston and the local officials in Watertown, Cambridge, and all of the surrounding areas. They did something that has never happened in my lifetime here in Boston. I've been here 30 years. They locked down cities. They told people, you can't come to work. You can't leave your houses. Don't let anybody in your house unless it is a uniformed police officer that you can clearly recognize. They did all of that to capture these two criminals. And because they operated so efficiently and effectively, something that could have gone on for weeks and months and years, and more bombs could have been planted. More pressure cooker bombs could have been planted and exploded, killing more people, didn't happen because a group of people came together as one to show pride and resilience. That's what Boston Strong is all about. And for those who are listening who had any doubt or concern about Boston and is it a racist town, I don't want to go there, I hope you can look at the series of events that took place last week to eradicate and eliminate any of your preconceived notions about my city. My city has issues like any other city, but it is not the Boston of the past. It is not the Boston that you may have read about. It is not the Boston that dealt with busing in the 70s. This is a brand new, robust, multicultural, diverse city that is strong and resilient and ready to take action. And most importantly, ready to welcome the world. Welcome those who are coming for conventions, conferences, family reunions, weddings, visits, school, whatever your case happens to be, Boston welcomes all those who want to come for that purpose. And for those who have ideas of ill gain, of evil, we're ready for you. We showed it last week, and we'll show it again and again. Boston is strong, it is ready, it is capable, and it will completely identify all the perpetrators, all of the people involved in this particular case, and bring them to justice if there are other people involved in this case, where they will deal with all the facts so that this will be a resolved issue. If anything, what was done for evil has brought people together in a way like no other incident I know of since I've lived here for 30 years. I hope this is a lesson that we do need to pay attention to what's going on in the world, because if you're not careful, there may be an incident like this that will happen in your area, catching you completely off guard and making you wonder, how can this happen? It happens. It will sadly happen again. But I hope that your town and your community will be as ready as Boston was last week. Hats off to my city. Hats off to all those who are in the city. Boston is definitely strong and ready for action and welcomes all who come to its shores and in its city for many, many years to come. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Take care.